your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation. Conservative Nation Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. This is Michael B. along with my brother and co-host from Tennessee Command, Uncle Bing Fisher. We're excited. Today is December the 23rd, 2012. It's the day before Christmas Eve. It's the day before everything changed. We've got a great lineup today. We've got our brother on from Connecticut, Carl Higbee, former U.S. Navy SEAL. We've got Virginia Prodan on, who is a Romanian-born American patriot, who's going to be talking to us about her new article, how the left is trying to take Christ out of Christmas. And we've got former U.S. Marine Staff Sergeant Jordan Pritchard on the show at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock as well, who stood guard in front of his school, his children's school, Gower Elementary, there in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got friends from all over the world listening today. I can guarantee you that because I've been chatting with them. We got our buddy from Belgium, Lies Love. We've got our buddy Junis on from Estonia. I know that for a fact. We've got friends on from all over the country, all 50 states. This is going to be a great show. So I am looking forward to it. Brother Bing, are you there? Come on in here. It, by the way, is just about 2 minutes after the top of the hour. And this is Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio Network.
Hey, Michael, I'm here. I don't know if from what I was showing, it didn't look like your mic was muted up, but or potted up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Yeah, I just seen that. But anyways, yeah, we got a great show. We got Carl Higbee on. We got Virginia Prodan, and we've got Justin Pritchard from Nashville, Tennessee. I'd like to get just right into it here, man. We also got a Christmas show coming up. Why don't you just go ahead and explain some of that again? Because I don't really think people heard it.
Well, tomorrow, starting at noon at conservativenationradio.org, as well as at traditionalamericanmovement.com, as well as on this channel right here on Blog Talk Radio. But here on Blog Talk, it won't start till 7:30. But at noon, either on conservativenationradio.org or traditionalamericanmovement.com, which, by the way, for you folks that don't know, Bing and I are partners. Bing is traditionalamericanmovement.com. I'm conservativenationradio.org. We've got a great team that includes our general manager, Teresa Brusky, and our promotions manager, Barbara Buffing, as well as our program director, Duke Brooks, and all of the great hosts that we have on our network. But then Bing and I are partners here on Soldiers of Patriotism. We are the mouth to traditionalamericanmovement.com. So you go to either one of those sites, you're going to be able to hear a great show tomorrow that we here at Conservative Nation Radio have put no less than 30 hours into producing. In the last several weeks, I've had Frank Sinatra, I've had Nat King Cole, I've had Dean Martin, Bing Crosby, Burl Ives has come in and reprised his role as Sam the Snowman on the 1964 award-winning Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Jose Ferrara has come in and reprised his role from the 1968 Claymation award-winning show, The Little Drummer Boy. We've got special messages coming in from all kinds of people. This is the kind of thing you turn on instead of the TV, instead of a TV music channel, instead of the stereo. Turn this on, let it play, enjoy your family, grab a cup of hot cocoa or the toddy of your choice. We're going to provide the entertainment for the background noise. This is our gift from ConservativeNationRadio.org and TraditionalAmericanMovement.com to all of our listeners and supporters across the world who support conservatism and traditional American values, or just traditional values in general, because we do have friends in Europe, I know for a fact right now, that are listening, that believe in the struggle that we have right now in America. They look to America as being the leader in the world, being one of the leaders in the world. I don't want to sound so pig-headed, but being one of the leaders in the world, and we're losing that. And they look to us, and they're our friends, and we embrace them. So please join us starting tomorrow at noon, and you can play. We've got fun stuff on there. We've got a Santa tracker. Teresa Bruschi's been working hard on it. It's just really great stuff. I can't brag enough about all the work we've put into this first annual Christmas Eve. And it's going to get better every year, Uncle Bing.
Oh, man, it sounds great, man. I'm sitting here listening to it the other day, you know, for what we all got accomplished so far. And I'm like, wow, it's unbelievable. When you get enough people together, like-minded, moving towards a common goal, it's amazing what you can actually discover, what you can actually do, you know. It's
well,
great.
And you know, we're growing like wildfire here at conservativenationradio.org. By the way, the phone number is 718-305-7176, and the time is 3:15 right at the moment. We're fixing to bring our buddy Carl Higbee in. Carl is a good friend of Soldiers of Patriotism, a great friend of Conservative Nation Radio, a man who we hope will find endeavors there in Connecticut, has a lot to tell us. And we always look forward to Carl. But we're growing like crazy. I mean, it's just unreal the direction that we've taken, both Traditional American Movement and Conservative Nation Radio. And I'm just excited, Bing.
Oh, yeah, man. I just look at the numbers of people that hit Traditional American Movement and hit CNR and so on. And we're at Tradam, man. I mean, we're like, if you think about this, we're in the top 16% of conservative websites, out of all websites out there, not just conservative, but all, and we're top 16%. So that's just great, man. It just makes it makes me feel great and proud and just happy that people are actually listening and reading what we're writing. We got some great people out there. We're doing an end of year promotional drive, and I'd like to really actually say right now for the people that have donated this last week, Barbara Buffing. Thank you to Fred Hewitt. Thank you to Chuck. Thank you to Ron. Thank you so much to whoever Anonymous was. Thank you. I hope they're not the group. But everybody, just thank you for keeping, you know, us on the air and keeping us going, because it's all for a common goal.
Well, you know,
it's all for a common goal.
We're at about 8 minutes after the hour. We need to bring Carl on here because I don't know what his time schedule is. I'm hoping he can spend several segments with us. I'd like for him to be able to speak to Jason or to Jordan Pritchard, but we'll see how that goes. But we're about 8 minutes after the hour. The number is 718-305-7176. You can find us at Twitter and Facebook. I'm just going to direct you to conservativenationradio.org and or traditionalamericanmovement.com. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is where we do have the post-chat, after the after-show, the post-chat, where we all get on there and have some fun. But you do have to be a member of that, which I'm grateful for because it keeps the trolls out, unlike the chat board here that we have now. So if there's someone there you don't like, just right-click on their name and you can ignore them. But Uncle Bing, do you have something to say, or should we go ahead and get Carl in here? Because I've got him on a hot mic.
No, let's get Carl. Carl, I'd like to welcome Carl Higbee, retired.
Hey, guys, thanks. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh,
thanks for having me on.
It's always a pleasure, Carl.
You know, we are the official network of Carl Higbee, especially when he starts running for a seat in Connecticut. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, except for that I'm a little bit tired of these liberals. They are the afterbirth of a botched abortion that produced Lenin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I tell you, I'm more than a little bit tired of them.
Carl, I got something I want to play for you and everybody else. It just totally set me through the roof last night, and I'd like you to listen to it. And then I'd like, it's only a minute and 22 seconds, and then I'd like to get your take on it when we get back.
Shoot, good.
All right, let's go.
Columbine.
Virginia Tech.
Tucson.
Aurora.
Fort Hood. Oak Creek.
Newtown.
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 How many more?
How many more?
How many more colleges?
How many more classrooms?
How many more movie theaters?
How many more houses of faith?
How many more shopping malls?
How many more street corners?
How many more?
How many more?
Enough.
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 Demand a plan.
Right now.
As a mom.
As a dad.
As a friend.
As a husband.
As a wife.
As an American.
As an American.
As an American.
As a human being.
For the children of Sandy Hook.
Demand a plan.
No more lists of names.
It's not too soon.
It's too late.
Now is the time.
Before we all know someone who loved someone on that list.
No more lists.
No more.
Who they might have been. No more.
If we had just done something yesterday.
It's time.
We can do better than this.
We can do better than this.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for our leaders to act.
Demand a plan. Right now.
Right now.
You! Demand it!
Enough.
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 You know, Carl?
Yeah, I mean...
Right now, my blood pressure is going through the roof right now, brother. I don't know about you, but I'm so tired of Beyonce, Chris Rock, Christina Applegate, all these have-been little cretins out there that actually got this. Got us to where we are right now. They probably.
The thing we need to do is we just need to either wait for these people to abort themselves out of existence or all die from global warming. It's, you know, all these people want to whine and complain. It's, you know, what we need is more murder laws, probably, to make it more illegal to murder people, because that'll solve everything, right? You know,
You know what's interesting? When you go to their website, actually, because I went over there, I'm going, I got a plan. Why don't we arm everybody? Because where there's people that are armed everywhere, there's less crime. You know, there's less murders. It's been proven. It's been shown. But, you know, they say on their website, well, you know, we will screen your submission for your plan. And if we deem it appropriate, we will post it. It's liberal doublespeak. It's just...
They don't get it. The only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is to have a good guy with a gun. And
right.
I don't understand. Like, there's never any mass shootings at gun shows. What's the problem? I mean, there's laws against carrying guns on school campuses and whatnot. That's where these guys go to shoot people because they know that they're victims there. We need to stop being a society of victims. We need to start being a society of victors. You think that dude would have walked up into a Spartan classroom? No, because that would have done what's necessary.
Yeah, it's a soft target, you know. They know they can get away with it. It's the same. I keep looking at it. They say no more schools, no more theaters, you know, this and that. That's where these things happen because they know they can get away with it. They know they can get a few rounds capped in somebody's butt before they get their butt shot off. And actually, most of them shoot themselves. But they, you know, these people that sit there, they it's a feel-good measure. And, you know, I was telling Michael earlier today, and I'm talking to him on the phone, you know, by the time that we get done with our show today, Carl, in 2 hours that we have for our show, when you take in the abortions every year, there's 137 per hour. So that means, what, 260, 274? At the time when we get done with this show today, there will be 274 abortions performed in the United States of America. Mm. But these people are more worried about some crazy person that you cannot stop. I don't think we can stop this guy. We can maybe stop some of the carnage that he would do, but they're more worried about this guy than they are of these abortions. So when you put it in perspective, it adds a little bit of credence to it.
But, I mean... The thing is, if he didn't have access to a gun, he would have had a knife. And crazy people like this, nothing stops them. You're not going to stop them by reasoning with them or talking to them. These people are out there, and it's an unfortunate cost of the great freedoms we have in this nation. But I tell you, banning guns and, you know, imposing legislation on stuff like this isn't going to do a damn thing.
Well, Carl...
No,
it's for no problem. I've got a few questions for you. I'm up against a soft break. It's about a minute and a half. long story. I need to send you an email on this. We've got a new programming director in here at Conservative Nation Radio. We're making an actual attempt to be professional, and I'm loving it, but I'm up against a soft break. But coming out of the soft break, I want to
ask you. You might
not
want to have me on anymore then.
Well, I want to ask you about Christie agreeing with Bloomberg. So give that some thought during the soft break. We'll come out of that, and I want to get your input from someone that's from Connecticut. I want to hear your story about the day that you the Friday that this tragic event happened, and then and I'm going to start it off when we come out of this break. Is my thought about the liberals, how they can't I'll say it when we come out of this break. We got to do this real quick.
Cool.
Mark your calendars. Conservative Nation Radio is proud to announce our first annual Christmas Eve special on Monday, December 24th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Tune in for 2 full hours of Christmas programming filled with Christmas classics, music, and so much more. Visit conservativenationradio.org, look for the banner that says The Night That Changed Everything, and that will take you directly to the broadcast. We hope you enjoy our Christmas gift to you, our listeners, and make us a part of your Christmas celebration. On behalf of everybody here at Conservative Nation Radio, we'd like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
Do you have something to say? Then let your voices be heard. And say it on Conservative Nation Radio. Conservative Nation Radio. We do conservatism right.
All right, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio. It is about 17 after the top of the hour. And the phone number is 718-305-7176. We do have our very special guest and our mind and being's personal friend and buddy, a man that supports us, that we support, that we're hoping to see run for something up in Connecticut, on with us. That is the former U.S. Navy SEAL, Carl Higbee, who is the author of the book Battle on the Home Front. I do urge you to get it and read it. I've read it. It's a great book. Carl, you know, these children were 6, 7 years old. I'm of the contention that 6 or 7 years ago, plus one day, the left wouldn't have cared about the murder of these children.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I don't want to go so far to say they wouldn't care, but it's a culture crisis. They don't see it as morally wrong to take a child's life prior to its birth. That's the problem. It's a culture issue, and it needs to be addressed as such, not through legislation or anything like that. But you're absolutely right. It's a travesty, and now they want to ban and restrict actual rights on behalf of that. But the fact is they have a very opposing view for just a few years before that.
Oh, they do. I mean, it's like talking out of both sides of their mouth. And, you know, I'm a little upset with Dix. They banned the Bushmaster up there right outside of Newtown. Now, Carl, you're in Connecticut. If you are so inclined, and if not, that's fine. I understand. But being a person from Connecticut, I don't know what y'all call them, a Connecticutian or what, you know. But
we call them liberals. But yeah.
give us the blow as you got the news. Being right there, so close to Newtown. You know, I mean, I'm not looking to make news or to play on people's sympathy, but you're right there. I mean, I'm in Texas, and it killed my heart. I listened to it on our news show, Things Not Seen, with Chris Manti and Duke Brooks. That's where I heard the news. But my thoughts immediately turn to you. What's Carl thinking right now?
Well, I mean, I was actually in Virginia at the time. I spent a lot of time in Virginia still, as my wife's still in nursing school. And my mother-in-law actually works. She's a preschool teacher up here in Greenwich, Connecticut, and not far away. Her school was locked down. It was quite nerve-wracking because especially they said that at the original time when it came out, they had suspected other shooters on the rampage. So it was nerve-wracking. My wife was pretty distraught over it too. We didn't know anybody involved in it, but my heart goes out to them. It really is a travesty.
How far
at the hands of a madman, not at the hands of firearms.
Connecticut's a pretty small state by my standards. Living
yeah,
here in Texas.
Your backyard, yeah.
Yeah. So how far are you from Newtown?
Probably about 25 minutes.
That close. Okay, so you're there. So,
right.
We're going to have on a little bit later on, we're going to have Jordan Pritchard on, who is the Marine that, in response to this, and come to find out, Carl, I mean, this kind of surprised me, the Marines actually called, the Department of Marines or whatever it is, called
Department of the Navy, yeah.
Department of Navy, yeah. I should have known that. I just wasn't thinking. But actually called him, I think, last Monday and said, no, please take the uniform off, don't stand in front. We're going to get Jordan on here in a little while. We're going to get to find out what his response to that was. But, I mean, you being who you are and what all you've done and what all you've seen, his response was natural, I think. And I was quite surprised to read that the Department of Navy actually called him and said, I mean, I understand the rules. I do understand them. But it made people, I think, look, if the liberals are going to react with we need to take everybody's guns away, why would it be a problem for a former staff sergeant of the United States Marines to pull out his utilities from retirement and without a weapon? I mean, because an unarmed Marine standing in front of the elementary school is probably more than most armed civilians could handle.
Yeah, that's dangerous enough.
I'll agree with that. And the thing is, and this is where the politics are getting in the way again. It's, we take that oath to support and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That oath doesn't end when you leave the military. And he took that upon himself. He got his stuff on. He went out there and, Guardian veteran. And he was ready to do what was necessary, and he wanted to do that. And I don't see a problem. And it's actually terrifying that the military would say, don't do that. Don't represent us. He's not getting paid for that. He's doing that because that's his oath to America.
Absolutely.
Oh, I welcome it. I think that, I've seen on the videos and so on, there's people that just are going up to him and you say, thank you, shaking his hand. They like him. People want people there like that. Look, if you were to take your kid to his school and there was a cop basically out front, okay, maybe even without a gun, but a cop out front, don't you feel a little bit safer? Dropping your kid off at school?
Yeah, the only problem with that is we need to make a bold statement to crazy people like this. You have one cop, okay, guess what? The first person that crazy nut is going to shoot, and probably unannounced, is that Marine standing out front, that cop standing out front. We need to make it known. You mess with the bull, you get the horns. And I said this on another program about a couple days ago when I was attacked. It was a liberal program. That we should give teachers the option to carry firearms and make it, monthly mandatory training. Otherwise, you're not allowed to carry them. And, the liberal host was like, whoa, why don't we arm the kids, too? I was like, well, that's the problem with you guys. You don't take anything seriously. And if you gave that the option, you talk to the Japanese during World War II, after they bombed Pearl Harbor. The reason they didn't come in and invade America is because they literally said, why would we invade a country where there's a gun behind every blade of grass?
Well, that's exactly right. They won't.
Right.
Well, Carl, we're coming down close to the end of this segment. We're about 5 minutes out, and I've got Virginia coming on, our buddy Virginia Proden, who I think you've seen us post about on Facebook. But I've got three guys in here, and I'm hoping you can stick around. I really want to hook you and Jordan Pritchard up, but for the remaining 5 minutes of this segment, I'd like to pull in Chuck, Ron, and Kurt, who may have a question for you. They've spoken to you in the past here on the show. They're good friends of ours, good friends of yours. So I'd like to bring in Chuck first and see what he has for you, Carl. Is that okay?
Yeah, bring it on.
Chuck, you there, brother?
Oh, just barely.
Well, what's going on? We've got Carl Higbee on with us. You got anything for him?
No, not really. Just I appreciate his service and everything he's trying to do to get the conservative message out there, and we got to keep on keeping on.
Well, Chuck, you know, I think Carl, I know that Bing and I have been pushing Carl, and the last time he did a drive-by on us, which just blew us away. We were so excited. Carl did a drive-by, called in one day. I don't know where you were at, Carl, but you called into the show, and you kind of made some news, said you were looking at running. Where do we stand on that? What can we do to help you?
Well, it's still in a holding pattern right now. I've been talking to the guy who is and slash will be my campaign manager, and he kind of had some interesting plans I'll talk to you guys offline about, but it's definitely in the cards still. I hate politics, but unfortunately it's the only way to change something, so
Carl,
go in swinging, you know?
You and Bing and I, all three, hate politics, but we know it's the only way we can make a change. And, yeah, let's talk offline because you know that we're your mouthpiece.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Ron, what do you got?
Yeah, anytime you want, man.
What's up?
Ron, you there?
Ron. Yes, sir.
We got Carl.
Hey, Carl, it sure is good to talk to you, and we do appreciate your service. None of us would be able to be here today without people like you standing in the way of all the bad that's going on in this world.
Well, I tell you, it's the support that makes it all worth it.
I've been listening to some of the morning talk shows today, and they just infuriate me so bad that I can't hardly even listen to them. They make me sick at my stomach. You cannot legislate away stupid. You can't legislate away evil. But that's what they want to do. You squish a bug, and they want to do away with the bug spray. And I just don't understand what's going on in this world. And I just appreciate you taking a stand. Your voice is louder than mine. It makes more sense. We stand out here in middle America, and we don't know what's going on with these crazy fools on the coast.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what it is. East and West Coast, actually, it's gotten weirder and weirder. I had a article that a kid sent me once. He was in high school. He said, it's time for a divorce. He proposed that we split the country. You have liberals on one side, Democrats on the other. And we'll see who comes, Republicans on one side and Democrats on the other, and see who comes crawling back to who for help first.
Good idea. Well, y'all go ahead and get somebody else on there, not me. I'm done.
Well, hang tight. Let's get Kurt on here, then we're going to hit the hard break and get Virginia on here. We'll see if Carl can hang out for the round table shortly after Jordan is, after we've had our segment with Jordan. But, Kurt, go ahead, brother.
Hey, Michael. Carl, good to hear your voice again, brother. Michael, what I'd like to do, I've got a little something that popped in my head this morning that I was hoping that I'd be able to get Carl and Jordan and Virginia, all three, to hear if that would be possible after we've got the major portion of this under our belt. What about it?
I can hang around.
Yeah, we can see how we can schedule that out, Kurt.
Pardon?
We can see how we can schedule that out.
Yeah, just, see if you can put it together. I would like all three of these very special people to be on here. If it's not possible, I'm going to finish writing up something and post it on Threadam later, but this is just a little... I'm not going to say a little. It's something that popped in my head this morning, and I've been working on it since. Okay.
All right, buddy.
All right, thanks, Kurt. Hang tight, brother. Carl, if you haven't noticed, we have moved to formatting so that we just don't have 2 hours of nonstop chat. And I've got a guy up in your neck of the woods, actually, Duke Brooks. He's been in the radio business for 40 years. We've brought him on as the programming director, and he's has instilled a set of rules that we have to live by. Otherwise, we go to we go to radio jail up there in your neck of the woods in Delaware. So I need to hit this hard break, and hopefully Virginia's called in. Can you stick around, brother?
Yeah, sure. It's my wife's birthday, so I got to jump off at some point. But, yeah, I can hang around for a few more segments.
All right. Hang on, buddy.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Adkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero, but Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
At Conservative Nation Radio, we don't have $1 million, but if we did,
Obama would steal it.
Conservative Nation Radio.
We do conservatism right.
All right, this is Michael B., along with my brother Uncle Bing Fisher. It is about 14 minutes after the bottom of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. We do have our guest on from the first segment, Carl Higbee, former U.S. Navy SEAL and author of the book Battle on the Home Front. We do have on with us as well Virginia Prodan, who is a friend of ours, and I'd like to introduce to Stan or to Carl Virginia because they are two great patriots. Virginia is a Romanian-born American naturalized citizen. She has been fighting in America for the last decade to teach people about the evils of communism and socialism. This lady lived under the rule of Nicolae Ceausescu. She had a death warrant out on her, and if not for Reagan administration, probably would be buried somewhere in a field out in Romania somewhere. Virginia, are you there, sweetheart?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. First of all, real quickly, because I don't know when Carl's going to have to drop, but Carl's on a hot mic. You guys need to hook up on Facebook. Carl, Virginia, Virginia, Carl.
Nice. Yeah, hit me up anytime. Nice to meet you, too.
So, Virginia, you have done an article about Christmas and how we are moving in a direction where the progressives are trying to take Christ. out of the word Christmas. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm just trying to make an outline of the history of Christmas celebrated by Americans and by presidents. And even though Christmas did not become a national holiday until 1870, it has a century-old history in America. The pilgrims, when they came here, they came for religious reasons. For them, worshiping God was very important, and keeping close to God and keeping the Bible was very important to them. So in the beginning, pilgrims did not believe that Christmas should be celebrated as we celebrate it today. Not because they were against celebration of Christmas, but for them, first of all, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly the day where Christ was born. But the second part was because they knew, as we all know, that Christ was born, but he was born for a reason, and that is that he will come as the Son of God, he will walk with us on this earth, and he will go and die on the cross. So for pilgrims, Easter, his crucifixion and resurrection was very important. And they didn't want people to remain at the crib of baby Jesus. They wanted to remember, you know, why Christ came. So for that reason, they did not celebrate Christmas as we celebrate now. But I want you to know that, in fact, in Massachusetts, In 1659, it was Massachusetts passed an anti-Christmas law that, for that reason that I explained, they wanted to make sure that people don't celebrate Christmas and forget about Easter. And until, you know, the Christmas became a federal holiday in 1870. But with the new generation of people coming to America, a lot of things about celebrating Christmas came. Many of people coming in waves in America, compared with the Puritans, did not come for religious reasons. Many of them came for economical reasons. And with that, the commercialization of Christmas came. They also, these people came for economical reason. They came with their own custom of celebrating Christmas, like the European people came with a Christmas tree, an exchange of gifts. Coupled with that, you have a lot of inventive ways now with commercialization in America, and people will take advantage of Christmas and will make it like more commercial. Many of people, if we remember, they started the Santa Claus image, the Coca-Cola illustrated Santa Claus with Christmas. Later on, we have in 1939, the Rudolph, the Red Nose, and many other things. Also, I want to emphasize to people that sometimes the celebration of Christmas was used even for political reasons. In 1860, President Abraham Lincoln asked NAST to create a drowning of Santa with some Union soldiers. This image of Santa supporting the enemy had a demoralizing influence on the Confederate Army. So that's an example of psychological warfare. So, but later on, presidents celebrated Christmas in a very special way. And I want to emphasize that in 1889, the first indoor decoration of tree was placed in a White House. In 1895, electric lights were added. And in 1923, the first national Christmas tree lighted ceremony was held at the White House. 1953, the first White House Christmas card was created by President Eisenhower. And in 1963, President Kennedy's Christmas card was the first to introduce an implicit religious right, religious element, and was the Nativity. In 2001, the first White House Christmas card by Laura and George Bush had a scripture, Psalm 27. With that comes to present time when you have a new administration that fights against Christmas and fights against religious rights. And many people are sued because they have Christmas at their office or, you know, City Hall or other places. But that was not all the time like this. If we look at the presidents, many of the presidents in the past that decided to have a message for the American people, they had a message of Christ-centered Christmas message, like Franklin Roosevelt in 1935, Henry Truman in 1949 and 1952, an amazing Ronald Reagan message in 1982 and 85. Again, a very special message by George W. Bush in 2003 that showed us that they put Christ as the center of Christmas, and they had a wonderful message for the American people. But in the recent years, there has been a relentless action from the progressives to transform Christmas. School or government office or many commercial stores, instead of saying Merry Christmas, they have Happy Holidays. In some stores, there was a situation when people were looking for a Christmas tree, and they said, we don't have it. We have Christmas, holiday trees. But the most important thing that I want everybody to remember is that it was a research was done. 93% of the American people want to celebrate Christmas. And 97 of them, they are not bothered to use the phrase Merry Christmas. So the question is, how come that the 3% seems to drive the political policy, which it's not true? You know, it's the government or the federal government that try really hard to push Christmas out of our lives. So it's time for us, Americans, to push back and preserve our values, because America was built on Judeo-Christian values, and Christmas is part of our American values.
Virginia, if I can, let me just real quick, and not to interrupt your train of thought, but we've got a lot of folks on here that are new that may not know from where you come from, and I'd like for Carl and for the because I know Carl knows about you. But for those folks that are not listening, tell us a little bit, just real quickly, just throw in there and then get back on your article. I want people to understand from where you come from, what you growing up under Nicolae Ceaușescu, you speak with authority on this, and I want people to understand that. So can you just give us a few minutes real quickly and let people know your background?
Yes, I grew up in a communist country, which means that the dictator was in charge of everything. He controlled our lives. He declared himself God. And as I grew up, I didn't like this kind of life. And I went to law school in Bucharest, and I became an attorney. And I decided to defend Christians and human rights, because the dictator who declared himself God, because under communists, when you eliminate a religion, then the leader becomes your religion, the leader becomes your God. So living under those situations, the dictator declared himself God, and he started to, by the time I graduated from Bucharest Law School, he started to demolish churches and jail Christians for going to church. So I decided to help and defend churches and Christians. And I have success by doing that because I surprised the government. Nobody before took the government to court or dared to ask the government to obey the rules, because we had rules protecting human rights and religious rights, but those rights or laws were there according to the dictator and his secret police. I found out in the interrogation room. They said that they were there so Romania can receive the most favored national status from the United States. But I told them that, you know, in law school, I didn't learn that we have some laws for international perspective and some laws that as a citizen, as a lawyer, a citizen, I cannot use it. So I told them that I will continue to use and defend churches, which I did, but with that came persecution from the government. I was interrogated and arrested, and I was under house arrest. And finally, I was let go because I was exiled because President Reagan was so fearful of my life that asked the dictator to let me leave the country. And also, the dictator was not really happy with me because he was afraid that my example will be followed by others. So he made kind of agreement with President Reagan that if I leave the country and I don't talk anymore and I don't defend any churches and I leave everything that I had there because the government confiscated everything that I had, I can leave the country, hoping that everything will be okay.
Well,
but what happened?
You know what? That was a good. That was worth going over the soft break for 1 minute. Let's do the soft break real quick. When we come in out of the soft break, let's pull Bing and Carl Higby in here. We want to hear more about your article, but I think Carl and Bing might have a question for you or two, considering what you've done or seen. But let's do the soft break real quick. We'll come out of that. We'll get right back to it.
Okay.
Mark your calendars. Conservative Nation Radio is proud to announce our first annual Christmas Eve special on Monday, December 24th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Tune in for 2 full hours of Christmas programming filled with Christmas classics, music, and so much more. Visit conservativenationradio.org, look for the banner that says The Night That Changed Everything, and that will take you directly to the broadcast. We hope you enjoy our Christmas gift to you, our listeners, and make us a part of your Christmas celebration. On behalf of everybody here at Conservative Nation Radio, we'd like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
Do you have something to say? Then let your voices be heard. And say it on Conservative Nation Radio. Conservative Nation Radio. We do conservatism right.
All right, and this is Michael B. and Uncle Bing from Texas Command and Tennessee Command Patriot Studios. We do have on with us today Virginia Proden as well as Carl Higby, two of the three guests we're having on today. It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I went into that soft break a little bit late, but I didn't want to cut Virginia off. I do. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Please call in. We're hoping that Carl can stick around with us. It is his wife's birthday, so I know that if Carl's got to bail, he's got to bail. But Virginia Proden's on with us as well. I just want to bring Bing's got his technical difficulties situated, so I need to get my brother Bing in here, and then Carl and Virginia. Carl, I would like to bring you in, see if you have anything for Virginia. And Virginia, obviously, we want to hear the rest of your story. Bing, do you got anything real quick, brother? This is Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio Network.
Yeah, I do. Hopefully my static is gone now. I didn't really do anything except just wait. So
it sounds much better.
Okay, cool. Yeah, 718-305-7176 for the call-in line. Virginia, for some of us out here that are real hardcore and believe that there is an agenda, and actually I came across a movie that's called Agenda. The movie and the grinding down of America, and I didn't even know that was out there. I don't know if you've seen it. I posted
yes,
it over at Trail End.
Yes. I have seen it, and I had the Mr. Val of my house. He has a presentation here, and I believe he has done a wonderful job on presenting what the liberals are doing in our country. And I believe one of the things that it's very important for us, many of us, and maybe you heard the expression, to keep Christ in Christmas. One thing that we can do about that and about pushing back the liberal agenda is to teach our youngsters, not only, of course, at Christmas time about Christ, about his sacrifice for us and salvation for every soul who accepts him for paying for our sins. But also we have to go back to our values, and we have to teach our children about what this country is all about. There is no other country as America, and America is an exceptionalist country for several reasons. One is because we believe that God is our creator. And that is very important because we do not have, as people, as individual, and as country, anybody between us and God. We respond to God, we listen from God. The second part is that we as a nation, as an individual, we believe, our fathers believe, that our rights come from God and not from the government. That will keep us, America, the way we know it, and also return to America's value as we know. The third point is that we have to teach our children that the government is paid by us, it's elected by us to protect us, to have those rights from God. No other way around. We are not at the mercy of the government. And the other point is our Constitution and our values give us the right to replace the government when we want. Those are very important points in our history, and this is why America is the best country in the world. People
well,
come
isn't
into
this,
United
in Virginia, isn't this why... Virginia, isn't this the part of the liberal agenda, though, is to get God out of the country? I mean, we all know that, right?
Yes,
I mean,
yes. If they take God out of our, just think about, if they take God out of our lives, then we are at the mercy, the government is our God. So we depend on
and,
God. When
right.
We depend on government.
And if they take our guns away from us, too, then we're really at the mercy of them.
Well, they're going to, yeah. Can I jump in on that real quick?
Sure.
You know, she's absolutely right. I'm sure, Virginia, you're familiar with Kitty Witherman. She wrote the article under Hitler. And that was the first thing Hitler did. He stripped morality via religion out of his people. And that gave him a looser society. And made it easier for him to take over, in a sense, and become the sense of morality or the God being, if you will. You know, and that's why our First Amendment is so important. It says, you know, Congress make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. And,
yes.
You know, they always use this separation of church and state crap. And it's like, hey, that's not in any founding document, you know, in a letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist. But,
that's exactly what I'm talking about. After
you're absolutely
election,
right.
A lot of research shows that we lost young people between 18 and 29. It is time for us to go and explain to these young people who have no idea, many of them, about history because they were taught different in school, in high school, in college. We have to go back with them and teach them about real history of this country that talks about God, about our rights from God, and like you said, all the amendments.
Yeah, and I don't know, and you coming from where you came from, you know, by the way, you know, you stood up against all odds, you know, and I can speak to that. It's not easy. And
let me say to the listeners that if they want to find out more, they can go to www.virginiaprodan.net. And they can find a lot of things, video, YouTube, and other things about how life in without God in a socialist society will look like.
Right. What I can't understand, though, is, I mean, you've experienced this communism firsthand. People, you know, back, you know, during the Cold War, we were running away from this stuff, and we were even imprisoning people for even thinking of communism. And now the Democrats are openly funded by these people. And it's like, where have we gone wrong? No laws have changed.
The blood trail is there, Carl. Because we made a mistake as
parents. We send our children to school, high school, public school, middle school, high school, and college. We pay big money in college. And those liberal professors taught our children that socialism is good. And we are not doing a good job telling them why capitalism is good. They have to have a balance in their lives, and they have to understand that. And believe me, I have been talking with several kids that were brainwashed, and I explained it to them, and they changed their minds. All we have to
Virginia, it's funny that the same people that want to criticize capitalism, that this country is joined with capitalism, okay? We are joined at the hip. When you mess with capitalism, you're basically messing with the freedoms of America. You're basically messing with constitutional principles. And these same people will utilize capitalism. The Chinese will utilize capitalism. These same people like Michael Moore and all these people will utilize capitalism to their benefit as long as it suits them. But they don't want anybody
true, but
else
let me
to
give
use.
You an example about what Michael Moore did. And it just happened that I go to Cuba, and I went to Cuba for several mission trips. And what he did, he went to Cuba and he went to very high places and filmed there and explained that to American people that the health system in Cuba is amazing, because what he was filming was the health care for Fidel Castro and his family. But I went to Cuba and I know how horrible Cuba is. And I live in Romania under communists, and I know that. But nobody took the time to explain what he was doing, to explain to others. And then our youngster believe what he is saying. So I really believe that we are not doing a good job explaining our young people why capitalism works, what's the benefit, how to protect our rights given by God, and why socialism doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. It's been proven it doesn't work.
You're absolutely right.
And in the broader sense, look, socialism is the foothold, the footstep, the doorstep of communism. Is it not, Virginia? This is how these people get in. They get this little all these little trinkets and so on. For presents for their peasants, and then they get their foot in the door, and then all of a sudden the big guy, communism comes in and takes control, and that's what's gone on. But communism does not work. We look at the Chinese role model; they're probably strict communists, but they turn to capitalism to fund their communistic. Regime. More people have been killed through communism than anything else in this world. And we don't see it. We don't understand. I guess we just don't want to see it, maybe.
Hey, guys, can I jump in here?
Yeah,
shoot.
I'm up against a hard break. We've got our third guest on. Carl, if you can stand by. Virginia, if you can stand by. We want to weave in Jordan Pritchard from Tennessee. Carl, I've told you all of.
Okay.
Hang on, Virginia.
Thank you for having me.
Can you hang tight, Virginia?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, sister. Well, if you can't hang on, well, I'll talk to you in a little bit. Carl, if you can hang on real quick, we're going to hit a hard break, And coming out of the hard break, we're going to bring in Jordan Pritchard from Tennessee. He's the former staff sergeant of the Marines. Interesting story, Carl. It ties in great with the fact that you're not only a Navy SEAL, but you live in Connecticut. And I want to hook you up with him. I've got to hit this hard break, though, guys. Stand tight.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation, Conservative Radio. Nation Radio.
5-5-4-4-3-3-2-1-1.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Together, you and I shocked the world. Not only did we win Iowa and 10 other states, we framed the Republican message, and we showed that conservative values are alive and well all across America. And what do I call winning 11 states? Well, just the beginning. Because by staying together, you and I can amplify our voices and change America. And top of that list, of course, is defeating Barack Obama. To accomplish all this, I'm starting a brand new organization, Patriot Voices. Once again, I'm calling on you and 1 million other patriots to join me and guarantee that our voices be heard. Our mission is clear. Fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and opportunity in America. To accomplish this, we'll mobilize our grassroots troops to help elect candidates that share our values and hold elected officials accountable for their actions all across this country. And like the founding fathers of our country, we're ready to take on the establishment or anyone else who opposes those bedrock American principles. Are you ready to join the fight to protect the sanctity of life, protect traditional marriage, return to the principles of our Constitution, restore fiscal sanity in Washington and across this country, and make America an economic and manufacturing superpower again? Then it's time you become a member of Patriot Voices. And joining couldn't be simpler. Just go to patriotvoices.com and you can instantly become a founding member of our organization. You and I weren't there for the American Revolution. We didn't write the Constitution or sign the Declaration of Independence. But let's make no mistake about it. The fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and ensure opportunity for all in America is just as critical today as it was back then. Our time in history is right now, and I hope that you'll choose to join me in this critical fight by joining Patriot Voices today. Patriot Voices, your voice multiplied by a million.
At Conservative Nation Radio shows, we've got something to say. What we want to hear is what you would say. Say it on Conservative Nation Radio.
We do conservatism right.
All right, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism on the Conservative Nation Radio Network. It is about 4 minutes after the top of the hour. We do have myself, Michael B., and my partner, Uncle Bing, of conservativenationradio.org and traditionalamericanmovement.com, respectively, along with our special guest today, Carl Higbee, former U.S. Marine and author of the book Battle on the Home Front. Just Google Carl. If you want to find an interesting story, if you want to read a good book, this is, I'm telling you, you got to read Battle on the Home Front. It's a good read. I've read it a couple of times. And Carl's a good friend of mine and Bing's. We support him in his endeavors in Connecticut. We have on with us also as well Jordan Pritchard, who is a former staff sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. In response to the – and Carl, I think you're going to find this interesting. In response to what happened in Newtown up there in your neck of the woods, Carl, Staff Sergeant Jordan Pritchard just pulled his utilities out of retirement, donned them, and went up and stood in front of the local elementary school there in Nashville, Gower Elementary. I've read subsequent articles, and we're going to ask Jordan about this. Jordan's a new friend of mine and Bing's, a new friend of Conservative Nation Radio, and a new friend of Soldiers of Patriotism, and we look forward to a long and fruitful relationship with him. I'm hoping, like Carl, that maybe we can get Bing, I'm hoping we can get Jordan to do something there in Tennessee as far as running, but I would like to bring him in here. The number is 718-305-7176. You know, our intro there from Patriot Voices, Senator Santorum, a man whom I respect very much, as well as my partner Uncle Bing, says we weren't there to write the Constitution. No, we weren't. We're a new breed of conservatives, and we've got two of them on here, right here with us on Soldiers of Patriotism, that are going to help us rewrite and change the direction of America, and that's Carl Higbee and our new buddy, Staff Sergeant Jordan Pritchard. Jordan, come on in here, my friend.
Welcome, Jordan.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good to be on here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Jordan, tell us a little bit, and Carl, you've got a hot mic. Jordan, tell us a little bit about your train of thought. I know this was in response to Newtown, and then I know that the Department of Navy called you and asked you not to stand up there as well. Talk about what you can. If there's something that you can't divulge, look, I'm a former paratrooper, had a top secret clearance myself. We understand here. Carl understands. Share with us what you can share with us.
Okay. Well, first of all, guys, really, I do appreciate you having me on the show. It really means a lot to have fellow veterans looking out for each other and looking out for the safety and the welfare of this country. Our veterans, we need to get our veterans back involved and stop having so many suicides and things like that. We really got to take care of our own.
I couldn't agree more.
Yes, well, my train of thought, man, this is what happened. I was taking a trailer back, and I was just riding down the road by myself, and I was, you know, the radio was off, and I was just in thought and thinking about what can we do as a people to protect each other. We can't rely on the government. The government, they're too slow in the processes. Our resources are not there yet for them to put officers at every school. So anyway, this is my thought. What can I do to keep my kids safe at school? I wasn't really thinking about any of the other kids at the school or the teachers. I was just thinking, as a parent, what can I do so that my kids are not scared to go in school on Monday? And so I was driving back, and I called my wife, and I told her, I said, hey, let's get my camis out. I'll just go stand at the school tomorrow, and I'll take the kids to school, and we'll see what happens and see how that goes. And so the rest is pretty much history.
So you were thinking about your kids. That's understandable. I mean, I would do the same thing. But you ended up inspiring a community, Jordan. I mean, you made national news. You've been on Fox News. We are so honored that you're – I mean, on our little radio program, we like to think here at Conservative Nation Radio that we're, you know, making some waves, and I think we are. But thank you so much for joining us today. But so you were doing it for your kids, but you inspired a community, Jordan. And, I mean, this is a story that – I mean, I read it. I saw it within a few minutes of it being posted on the internet. And I'm like, my God, you know, this guy, this is what we as conservatives – And look, I don't want to put you in a corner. I don't know or care what your political affiliation is or how you think. I would assume that we're probably like-minded individuals, both being, you know, from the South. But you don't have to be mm-hmm. from the South to be a conservative. But I would assume that we probably grew up similar. And when I read your story, I thought to myself, man, this is a story that's got to be told. I mean, this is a guy that's looking out for his community. and believes in the very same things I believe in, and then to have the Department of Navy ask you to, you know, not do that. What was the end result on that? I guess is my first question. Apparently, they didn't pursue it because you're on the radio with us.
Well, I got to know where it started off. Like, how did they contact you?
Well, I was in the school, and this was on Tuesday morning. And, you know, first of all, I know the Marine Corps orders. I was in the Marine Corps for 8 years. I know the Marine Corps uniform order. I mean, it's ingrained in my mind. But at the same time, you know, I've been out for a year and a half. The same rules really don't apply to me in certain situations. So I got a call from the Marine Corps Uniform Board, and she was informing me of the order and that my file had made it all the way to the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps' desk. And when she told me that, I immediately knew that he was probably not too happy with me. So she said, the Sergeant Major wants to know why you're wearing your Marine Corps uniform out in public. And so I began to tell her. And, you know, it just went on from there. Well, the Marine Corps, they're so set in their ways, but they're set in their ways for a reason. We have, Marines have rules and regulations that we hold to high standards. We hold our leaders in, you know, we respect them. And so all those rules and regulations are in place for a reason. You know, it's what makes the Marine Corps what it is. So I respect the Sergeant Major, but at the same time, just because I take my uniform off does not mean that I'm not a Marine. My contract ended, but I still live and breathe by the Marine Corps values, honor, courage, and commitment. I mean, those are values that I can take forever and to teach my kids those values. So just because I take my uniform off doesn't mean that I'm any less of a Marine. Well,
right. Well, that's the thing here. They care more about the rules and policy than they do the fact that you are going out there making a statement to protect the children at that school.
You're right. And
that's
you know,
the same
and
thing
and
that happened
time,
to you,
I think,
Carl. I mean, you know, it's kind of a parallel. It's uncanny in some aspects to me. Now, this has happened to both of you. The same kind of thing. You know, they tell you, well, you can't do this, or you shouldn't be doing this, or whatever.
Well, and I think the Marine Corps' take on it was that it was not a Marine Corps-sanctioned event. You know, I wish the Marine Corps could take a step back and look past the order and say, you know what this Marine did encompasses everything that Marines believe in. It's what we represent, protection and safety. You know, if they could take a step back and see that, then the uniform might not be such a big deal. They could say, you know, this Marine wore this uniform in the most perfect place and the most perfect time that a Marine could wear a uniform. I mean, who better to see out in front of a school, and no offense to the other branch of the service, but than a United States Marine. You know, when we think of our services and our military, you know, we're especially the Marines, we're so set in the Marine Corps is all about war, but we're not. The Marine Corps is about protection and safety. And so...
Well, Jordan, I got to tell you...
Do I still have you on here, man?
Yeah, are you there, Jordan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Sorry, I couldn't hear you for a second.
That's no problem. Jordan, you know, I was in the service from 82 to 88. I never served a day in combat. We had a little incident when I was in 83 called Grenada. It wasn't nothing compared to what you and my buddy Carl Higbee went through. You know, I wrote that blank check. I'm an old guy now. You guys lead the way, and I am so proud. Words can't describe the pride that I have to call Carl Higbee and Jordan Pritchard friends of mine that carry that torch. You know, I went in when I was 18 after high school. I was that John Wayne guy, you know, oorah, kill a commie for mommy. We still had the USSR then. In fact, I kind of miss the days of having the USSR. Maybe if we still had the USSR, we wouldn't have a President Obama right now, because we would understand the difference between socialism, communism, and what it is we stand for in America. But I digress, Jordan. I want to commend you for – I want to commend you for what you did. And real quickly, I want to introduce you to my buddy, Carl Higbee. You guys need to hook up on Facebook. You guys are the tops in my book. I mean, you don't know the amount of respect that I have and that Bing has for you both. And
no, thanks.
I mean, what you did, what Carl has done since he got out, the book he wrote, what you did, Jordan, I mean, guys, I'm not blowing smoke up your bottoms.
No, this is America.
People look up to you guys. You both have inspired America. I want to give you two. It's right at the moment. I'm on a soft break real quick. I just need to do this soft break. But when we come back out of this soft break, I want to give you two a chance to chat for a few minutes without Bing and I. And then I've got a board stacked full of people that want to say hi to you guys. Okay.
Right on. Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks a lot,
Carl.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much. How are you?
Mark your calendars.
Oh,
Conservative Nation
Radio
is proud
right
to announce our first annual Christmas Eve special on Monday, December 24th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Tune in for 2 full hours of Christmas programming filled with Christmas classics, music, and so much more. Visit conservativenationradio.org, look for the banner that says The Night That Changed Everything, and that will take you directly to the broadcast. We hope you enjoy our Christmas gift to you, our listeners, and make us a part of your Christmas celebration. On behalf of everybody here at Conservative Nation Radio, we'd like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
Do you have something to say? Then let your voices be heard. And say it on Conservative Nation Radio. Conservative Nation Radio. We do conservatism right.
All right, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. and Uncle Bing. It is about 23 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got on special guest Carl Higbee, former United States Navy SEAL and author of the book Battle on the Home Front, as well as former Staff Sergeant of the United States Marine Corps, Jordan Pritchard. Carl Higbee made news a few years ago with bloodying up the nose of some terrorists. He's a good friend of Conservative Nation Radio, as well as Soldiers of Patriotism. And Jordan Pritchard is a new friend of ours. And Bing, I want to give you a chance to say whatever you want to say, Bing, and then let's get Carl and Jordan both have a hot mic. But we've got lines stacked, people that want to talk to these two patriots, these two American heroes. I mean, this is what our show's all about, brother.
This is the crux of the biscuit. These are the guys that protect us from the crazies out there and the people out there that want to kill us. I had a Santa hat on, but I had to take it off. But if I had it on, I would tip my hat to you, man. You guys just earn my respect every day, each and every day. To Jordan, I'd like to ask him, are you going to do this every day? Are you going to keep doing this?
Well, when I first started last Monday, the plan was to do it every day. I don't know, man. Honestly, I don't know if I'm going to do it after the new year. I haven't decided whether or not it's a good idea to broadcast it out there, whether or not I'm going to go back.
Okay,
so I think,
that's cool.
I think what I'm going to do is take the holiday, spend Christmas with my family, enjoy the time, and reconsider after things calm down just a little bit and before the kids go back to school.
Yeah, right, well, I'll tell you, Jordan, go ahead, Carl. Well, I want to say, man, what you're doing, I mean, that's you got balls. And what they're trying to do is the military is trying to put their standards and their politics and policies in front of the in front of what actually has to be done here. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you to do one thing either way, but I tell you what you've done is great.
Well, thanks, Carl. I appreciate it. And, you know, it's not, I don't look at it as me versus them. It's not about that for me. It's about what can I do right here in this little life that I have in Nashville, Tennessee. What can I do to make a difference for, well, first of all, it was my kids. You know,
thank you,
them down so they can enjoy their Christmas. And so that was my answer. You know, my kids know that I'm a Marine, and that when I put my uniform on, what it represents, my kids understand. But most other kids don't. They think, well, military, you know, I mean, come on, man. The video games out there are insane. You know, I can't let my kids watch Call of Duty. I mean, it's a great game if you're a grown-up. I mean, Marines play it all the time. You know, it's great for training, but it's not for little kids. You know, kids are starting to shoot each other, and they're playing all kinds of, you know, where they're killing police officers, and I mean, it's just not the right way for kids to grow up.
You're absolutely right. And what you've done here is put your country in front of your career or past military career, which is what needs to, and that's what I talk about in the book, is people like you are doing the right thing. Maybe not what the rules say, like with me. They were like, you write this book, we're going to kick you out. I was like, fine, whatever.
I'm tired of the rules. You know, I'm tired of the rules. Don't give me any more rules. We're talking about my kids' lives. I'm done with the rules. I'm done with the regulations. I'm going to do what I have to do to keep everyone that I can safe in that school. And if that means that I go out there and stand and you come back on me with, you know, we're going to charge you, well, you know what? I mean, that's a chance I'm going to have to take, because the safety of all those kids and teachers far outweighs the punishment or whatever they find on me. Does that make sense?
That is a parent's job. That is their primary job. To keep their kids safe.
You're right, man.
And
it's not just
parents'
job, man.
Be doing. It doesn't. It really does. It doesn't matter if you're in the military, if you're not in the military, if you're in dress ups or not. It's the primary duty of a parent to keep their kids safe at all times, and we can't keep them safe all the time. So sometimes we have to send them to school. But if the school cannot keep them safe, then we have to step in and make sure that they are safe. That's just part of it. It's part of, you know.
What does it hurt me to go stand in front of a kid's school for 8 hours? You know, I stood post in the Marine Corps guarding things that were not nearly as important as my kids for longer periods of time.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Yep.
God, you are an American hero. You and Carl both. I mean, you know, that's music to my ears.
The Marine Corps is all about leading by example. Well, you know, that's a great Marine Corps leadership trait. But it's not just for the Marine Corps, it's for everybody. We have to lead by example, and unfortunately right now, no one is leading by example. No one.
You're right. Absolutely. There is zero leadership. They're more interested in their personal careers than they are about the effect.
Well, you know, I mean, when there's more, you know, God bless those people in Connecticut. I cannot imagine what they're going through. But when there's more news coverage about the fiscal cliff, which, honestly, right now, I could care less about than how we're going to protect our kids and our future, something is wrong.
Something inherently wrong. This is a basic tenet that is just gone awry. And what me and Michael are trying to do is just get Jordan and Carl and Virginia and people like you out there to tell others exactly what is going wrong with this country. You know, how can we fix it, and so on. You know, everybody can come up with these, like that little trailer I played earlier, you know, with the demand it now, whatever. You know, everybody has like a little fail-safe thing, a feel-good thing, I guess it is. You know, when something bad happens, things happen badly all the time. We have to get over it. We have to move on. We have to figure out how to maybe stop it. If we can't stop it, then we have to try to figure out how to maybe turn it around. But what you guys are doing is you're actually coming out and you're doing something. You're doing something.
Well, I never intended for... And honestly, I never imagined in my wildest dreams that from Monday morning when I first went out there, and then Tuesday night there were 300,000 likes on Facebook. And I read comments about I'm doing it for the publicity and all this stuff. Well, you know what? Keep thinking that, buddy. But that's not the case. How could I have predicted that all this was going to happen? You know, I didn't know that.
No,
nobody here is doing that. You know. I mean, we're just trying to get your story out there so that other people can get inspired and maybe do something similar or something.
Yeah, well, let me tell you,
Tuesday,
I had a soldier who's a dad, and his daughter is last year in kindergarten was in our son's class, and so he volunteered on a little bit Tuesday afternoon, but Wednesday he stood out there with me all day. All day long, a soldier. And you know what? We had the best conversations making fun of one another. You know, picking on the Army, and he was picking on the Marine Corps. You know, but it's just that veteran, you know,
God,
it's something that you have to be
there.
In the military to understand. And you guys understand that.
I wish I'd have been there. Man, I would have given, I would give my right, well, I'm not going to say what. Yeah. I would pull out my BDUs in a heartbeat to stand there beside you at Eddie's and just chuck and just rib the hell out of you about being a leatherneck, and you could rib the hell out of me about being a paratrooper, and Carl, we could rib Carl about being a squid. I mean,
oh yeah,
you know, I just, man, oh God, Jordan, I love what you did. I really did. I do. And you know, I was worried about sending you a friend request and sending you a message because I didn't want you to think I was capitalizing. I mean, look, I'm a vet, and Carl, I think will approve and tell you I love my brothers and my sisters, my band of brothers, and I will do anything for them.
Let me tell you something.
I heard your story, and I'm like, this guy has got to be my friend, whether he comes on the show or not.
Yeah. Well, and listen, man, I'm honored that you guys asked me. But let me tell you, if we don't capitalize on what each other does, then we're going to get nowhere. You know, if people capitalize on what I started, and I didn't know I was starting anything, but there something has happened. And if you guys can capitalize on this and make people understand and make people want to volunteer and do something proactive and productive, then, man, capitalize all day, by all means. You know, if you're using my name to start something, make it good. I'm all for it. So, you know, do not feel bad about calling me and asking me to be on your show or anything like that, because we have to work together. And only when we work together are we going to see a difference. That's the only way it's going to happen.
Man, I'm so humbled.
We are band of brothers, Jordan. And I tell you what, I'm not that far away from you. I'm over here in McMinnville. We call it McMinnville, but for certain reasons. But I would like to meet with you someday, man. You're in Nashville.
Yeah.
See? Yeah, I'd like to drive on over there. Take me about an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 40 minutes, something like that, if I drive slow.
Well,
and,
maybe we can meet in the middle
like
somewhere
meet,
and go out and have some lunch or something.
Yeah, if you ever get up to the borough or something like that, let me know, because I got a son, a stepson that lives over in the borough, and I need to go up there anyways to deal with some music equipment. But, yeah, I would love to hang out with you and do some lunch and just go over some of the things that we're talking about. But as far as capitalizing, yeah, like you said – look, this is a movement, okay? It's a movement not with one person, not with two people, not with 10. This is a movement that we need to develop into thousands of people. And,
yeah.
And with what you did and the image of that picture, I want to get that framed somewhere or something, of you standing out there protecting your kids, doing what you should be doing as a father, okay, as a father. And it would be great to get a staff sergeant mother to get out there, too. That would
be nice.
So, you know what I'm saying? Carl and Michael.
Yeah.
That would be the ring there. That would be the thing, because that is what gets people motivated. When we get people motivated, they get off their butts. They get out there and they do things. And they're not sitting at home.
Well,
hopefully, if they're sitting at home, they're listening to our show, though, Michael.
Well, I'm up against the hard break, but Carl, Jordan, can you hang on? I would like
to jump off real quick. I don't mean to cut you guys off, but I get a jump.
Okay, Carl. Jordan, can you hang tight, buddy?
Hey, Carl. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, all right. Well, hey, thanks a lot. Jordan, hit me up on Facebook, and we'll chat more.
Carl, thanks, man. Nice meeting you.
And nice to meet you, too. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right,
thanks so much, Carl. Say happy birthday to your wife, for
it. We'll do.
I got to do a hard break real quick. We're going to come back, and Jordan, are you hanging tight with us?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Okay, because I got some folks that really would like to talk to you. So hang tight.
Okay, sounds good.
We're going to do our hard break here.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
You want to change the world? Start to spin it. At Conservative Nation Radio. We do conservatism right.
All right, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism Radio on the Conservative Nation Radio Network with your host, Uncle Bing Fisher from Tennessee Command and Michael B. from Texas Command, along with our special guest, Jordan Pritchard, former Staff Sergeant of the United States Marine Corps, hoorah, Semper Fidelis, who is joining us this afternoon. We've got some stacked lines. Bing, the phone number is 718-305-7176. It is about 3:33 after the bottom of the hour. Look for us on conservativenationradio.org as well as traditionalamericanmovement.com. We are so happy and proud to have the guest that we've had on with us today. We've had former United States Navy SEAL Carl Higbee, who did have to leave us. It's his wife's birthday, but he's on. He pops in, he does drives by from now every now and then. So, you know, you just stick with us, and you never know when you're going to get to hear Carl. We've got our new buddy on, Jordan. We had on Virginia Proden, who is a former, who is a Romanian immigrant, naturalized American, who has had a lot to teach us. With that being, come on in here, and let's bring Jordan back in. Jordan, you're on a hot mic, and then let's get some of our guests on here, because we've got the lines are stacked up. People that want to ask Jordan a question or just say thank you, I don't know. I mean, we've just got to get these people on, because but Jordan, are you there, brother? There's a lot of people that just they want to talk to you. I mean, you've set a national movement, my brother.
It's an inspiration, man, is what it is. That's basically what it boils down to, Michael. It's just inspiration, you know. He inspires people, other people, and I hope to God that other people will get out there and do something similar to this, you know.
That's right, man.
Well, let's bring in first. I want to bring in one of our Jordan, if you don't mind. I want to bring in one of our hosts from one of our shows. He's got an analogy to make. I don't know the full story, but I want to bring him in, and then we're going to bring in some of our listeners and guests. But I want to bring in our host, Rock and Roll Rick Brulo, from our Saturday afternoon show, Red, Right, and Blue. Rick, what have you to say to Jordan?
Jordan, first I would like to thank you for your service in defending our country. And what you were saying kind of reminded me a lot of an analogy from the book, Alas, Babylon, where one person had cultivated the habit of leaving his gun on the hall table and pocketing it just as he left the house, just as that guy had cultivated that habit. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, after what happened in Newtown, you had seen that there was a threat, and you just did what you could to save to protect your children and also the students in that school.
Well, thank you very much.
Well,
again,
hello?
Again, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong on that. And Michael, feel free to correct me as well, since you were a former military person.
Well, what was your question again exactly, Rick?
Okay. The analogy that I have is basically like, just as this guy in Runberg had left his gun on the hall table and pocketing it as he left the house, after you or rather Jordan had seen the threat and remembered from his time in the Marines to always wear the uniform in a time of danger, that he sensed that danger and did whatever he could to protect the students.
Oh, thanks, Rick. Well, Jordan, I think, Jordan, you're probably not too far out of the service from when you got issued your uniform. I know I'm about 30 years since I got out. I can't fit in my, I went from the pickles. When I went in the service, in 1982, we went from the pickled uniforms, which was, if you look at the clips from the soldiers from who served during the Vietnam War, the all green uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
We went from that to the original BDUs, the forest,
mm-hmm.
the forest camouflage. Of course, we were still fighting. We still had the USSR. We had
mm-hmm.
a problem in South America with Daniel Ortega in Nicaragua. Our training mission, Jordan, was not in the desert. It was in the jungles. We went through
mm-hmm.
jungle warfare training, and we wore the woodland camouflage, not the desert camouflage. But maybe you can speak a little bit more to that.
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question. Honestly, can you ask me again? I had a hard time understanding his question.
Rick, can you simplify your question, brother?
Okay. Basically, I think what I'm trying to get at is that no matter what, you had basically just remembered your time in the Marines and sensed that there was danger to children after what happened in Newtown, and you were like, I got to do whatever I can to protect my children and the.
Yeah,
so,
I think what he's asking is that Jordan sensed, whatever, inherent danger, whatever, and he put back on his uniform to serve again, is what he's basically saying, I think. And why,
yeah,
why is
okay,
that wrong?
Okay,
I think what it is, a rhetorical question, is why is that wrong? In other words, I don't wear a suit, but I wear jeans and a shirt, but I go to work in that. So for me to put on whatever karate gear, whatever to go in front of the school, Is there anything wrong with that? I mean, you know, you put on a uniform, that's what you serve.
Well, in every picture, in every ad you see for the military, anytime a reservist wants to have, they're trying to, not a reservist, a recruiter wants to recruit, they wear their dress uniforms or their Bravos. That's the green trousers and tan shirt. You know, but that doesn't send the same message. Kids are used to seeing soldiers and Marines in camouflage. They associate camouflage and that with protection and you know, unfortunately they associate it with war. Two things. I wore my camis because of what it represented. You know, I can't go up there and stand in my dress blues. I would feel more like a recruiter, like I'm trying to get these kids to come with me. And two, I just can't move in them. I mean, my dress uniform is not something that you can fight somebody with or while wearing. So I wore my green camis because the kids could associate with that uniform. They understood that uniform. They knew what it represented. Two, none of my other uniforms fit, so I didn't have a choice.
Have we gained a little bit of weight, brother?
Well, just a little bit. You know, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I was a personal trainer at the YMCA in Middle Tennessee. Great organization to work for. They were fantastic in helping me decompress from military life to civilian life. And so I was a personal trainer there, and I was in good shape. But I just got burnt out and had to take some time off. And that time off, I've outgrown my uniforms.
Well, brother,
hey Jordan, we got some other people to talk to you. 718-305-7176. But what I would like to know is, I mean, have you gotten like much serious flack? Any serious flack about this? I mean, really bad serious flack.
Say that again.
Have you got any serious flack over this? I mean, real bad. I mean, well, I know we talked about some, but.
Well,
you know,
no, I haven't gotten anything real bad. Most of the stuff I get are from other Marines saying I'm out of regs and this and that. Look how nasty he is with his hands in his pocket. But, you know, I wouldn't expect anything less from the Marines. That's what Marines do. They rip on each other constantly.
Right.
You know,
well,
that's the Marines' way of looking out for each other.
Yeah, and you probably got a lot more parents that are sitting there supportive of you than you do have the Marines that are not, do you not?
Yeah, well, you know, I look at what the Marines say and I just laugh. I mean, I can't do anything else but laugh about it. If I let what the Marines say about me being out of uniform and things like that, well, you know, then I've missed the mark somehow. If that's affecting me, what they say, then I've done all this for nothing.
Hey, Jordan, let me ask you a question because I never have outside of the United States Army. I'm not very familiar with military rank. I was a sergeant E5. Now, as a staff sergeant in the Marines, an E5 or an E6? Because y'all have got two different
E6.
Kinds of corporals, and that's always confused me. So you were an E6.
E6.
Okay,
yes, sir.
So you no, don't sir me, brother. You, I answer to you. I was a sergeant E5. I was a buck sergeant, 3 hard stripes. That's it. And then I got out of the service. After I broke my back riding bulls, got medically terminated from jump status, I couldn't deal with the leg army, and said the hell with it and got out and came back into civilian life. I'm fighting for my country now from behind the mic, the same way that you are doing what you're doing. We've got Staff Sergeant Jordan Pritchard on, Soldier of Patriotism, 718-305-7176. We'd encourage everybody to call in. We are coming down to the end of the show. We are so blessed and fortunate to have this American hero and American patriot on the show with us today, who stood guard in front of the elementary school in his neighborhood in Nashville, Tennessee. Jordan, I'd like, well, first of all, have you gotten a Twitter address yet?
No, I have not.
We need to get you a Twitter.
Good for you.
You need to be on, if you don't mind me suggesting, you need to be on the Conservative Nation Radio TWUBS team. But let's get, aside from that, we could talk about that on Facebook. Let's get some other folks in here because we've got a lot of folks that really do want to say something to you, Jordan. And I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but you are a national hero, my friend. You're a treasure to a lot of conservatives in America. And I think that's something you're just going to have to deal with. So do you mind taking a few phone calls?
No, sir, I do not. Let's do it.
All right, well, we got Ron on. Ron, come on in here, my brother.
I tried to get Wes to y'all. Y'all got some other people that hadn't had an opportunity to talk, but I just want to thank you for your service. I wish I could have been up there with you. I joined, subscribed to your feed on Facebook already and sent you a little note. But I'm Ron. When you get it, you'll know who's talking to you. But have a good day.
Well, thank you, sir, very much. I appreciate you talking to me.
Thank you, Ron.
George.
Chuck, come on in here, brother. What do you have to say to our brother, our new brother here on Soldiers of Patriotism, Jordan Pritchard?
Well, welcome to the fold, Jordan.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
It's a really awesome thing you did. But really what I'm getting out of the whole show today from all of our guests is morality. Morality, morality. And, you know, it's not something you can teach in kindergarten and forget. It's something that has to be taught every day. And all of our guests are prime examples of that. They live it, and for that they deserve the thanks that we can give them.
And it has to be reinforced every day. It has to be instilled every day too, Chuck.
Every day.
Jordan is from Alaska, so he's one of our northern buddies, man.
Oh, right on.
Who's from Alaska?
Chuck is.
Oh, good deal. Good deal.
Yeah, yeah.
The last frontier of America, Jordan.
It's nice and toasty warm up here today. It's about 5 above right now, I think.
Jordan, are you fooling, man?
Jordan, when you get ready to go do some elk hunting, you let us know. We'll hook you up with Chuck.
Well, we don't have elk.
Well, thank you very much.
Caribou. Whatever y'all call those big ass deer you got up there, we call them white tail down here in Texas.
Yeah, those little tiny things.
Dogs.
You thought things were big in Texas? Y'all ought to come up here.
Y'all. Hey Jordan, let us bring in our brother here, Kurt Blackwood, a mentor to me and to being both this gentleman. We look up to, we respect. He's a guy that we look to and ask for answers from, who has a lot to teach us. Brother Kurt, come on in here. What do you have for Jordan?
Hey Jordan, Michael just said that because I'm old and he's being kind. Okay, I want to thank your brother for what you've done there. I want to thank you for your service during those 8 years. And I think what you did was a great and inspirational move there to go and stand in front of that school. And, you know, don't take any guff off anybody that you don't want to take. Stand for what you believe in. And just thank you so much. I had another thing I was going to do here, but the time is running too short. I'll put it in print on Thread M. I think we had three very special people as guests on here today. I want to thank Carl and Jordan and Virginia, all of you. This has made a special day for me, and God bless and have a wonderful Christmas, all of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kurt. Hey, Jordan, Kurt is from Tennessee. He's over in the Paris area, and maybe I'll make a deal with Kurt, and we'll meet up together, and we'll meet you after the holidays, buddy.
Yeah, sounds good.
He's a fellow of all, man, so he's very cool.
Thank you.
Well, Jordan,
I'll tell you what, I always said Kurt knows more people than God, and I think that's pretty close to being the truth. But
Jordan, you can't meet a finer man than Kurt Blackwood. And I would, real quickly, I missed the soft break. My program director, Duke Brooks, is going to kick my ass like you wouldn't believe. But Duke, I'm telling you now, you're just going to have to deal with it, my brother. We've had on some very special guests. So we blew by the soft break. We're coming up on the end of the end of the show. Jordan, I want to thank you so much. I've got one more person that I want to bring in here to you. My sister, she does our Thursday night show. It's called An Abomination. I want to give her a chance to speak, ask you a question, bump her show, and then we're going to start winding down. So if you'll hang tight, let's talk to Billy for a minute, and then I'm going to give you a few minutes just to wind up, and then we're going to end the show, Jordan. So, Billy, come on in here, sister.
Hi, guys. Hi, Jordan, and thank you for your service. My husband is currently getting deployed to Afghanistan, and with the Navy. He's not a Marine. But one thing you said that really, really hits home is leading by example, and that is one thing I know that's true of the Marines, and they have that discipline. Now, I just, you know, for some reason I'm fixated on this idea since the shooting that there's like this, you know how everybody has pretty much an innate sense of fight or flight most of the time, and for some reason it seems like society is trying to teach everyone to flight at all times unless you are military or cops. And I just think that, do you think that there are Marines out there that ever had the flight type of response innate in them before they became, you know, was that like something that was disciplined into them to become a fighter? Or do you think that everyone who joins the Marines is basically a fighter at heart?
No, I don't think everyone that joins is a fighter at heart. I really don't. Most people are, everyone is born either with that response to go toward the conflict or to run away from it. The Marine Corps is no different. We get all walks of life. The Marines who are ready to fight, most of the time, they're the ones who are getting in trouble and things like that. I'm not saying that all the Marines who are ready to fight and who have that response are getting in trouble, but you can tell by their personalities. A lot of times you can. Not every time, but a lot of times you can. But to go back to your original question, yes, the Marine Corps is made up of young men and women who are ready to go into action and ones who are ready to run away. You just have to understand the different personalities, and you have to play to that individual person. That's why the Marine Corps implemented the mentorship program, and that's why Marines are so involved in counselings and talking to their junior Marines about what's the word I'm looking for? They have to be ready, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So you have to break it down on an individual level to talk to each individual Marine and to find out where they are so that you can train them and help them go in the way that they need to go to become a great United States Marine.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, Jordan, you know, it really comes down to just not only being a great United States Marine, it comes down to just being a great American. I mean, Jordan, I don't want to corner you on your political beliefs, but I'm going to just ask. I mean, where do you see the state of our country, brother?
Oh, well, I knew that I was going to get asked some political questions sometime.
You don't have to answer.
You don't have to answer, man.
No. I'm just thinking about what I want to say. I did not vote for this president. I didn't. It doesn't mean that I respect him any less. He is still our president, whether we agree with the man or not. He holds that office that was designed to lead our country. And this is my opinion, if I'm constantly fighting this president, and, you know, some things we just have to continue to fight, but if I can work with this president, then that's where we're going to gain ground. That's how this country's going to come back, is Republicans and Democrats and whoever else comes up with whatever political party they want. We have to find common ground. And I don't think any of them would say that the protection of our children is not a place that we can all come together and agree on, if that makes sense. So where do I stand and where do I see this country? This is America. You know, this is America. We have hope in our country. America is not the flag. It's not our uniform, just what's in our hearts. The flag is just a symbol of this country.
Dude, you know what? I love that, and I appreciate that. You know what? We'll be the mouthpiece for conservatism. You be the mouthpiece for America. We are so glad, Jordan, that you joined us today. We're about to run out of time here, and I've got a special gift I want to give all of our listeners. You are welcome anytime. Program our phone number. You call me or PM or me or Bing. Say you're going to do a drive-by or just call in and surprise us. I don't care. You got room. I mean, you are a fixture in Soldiers of Patriotism, and I cannot thank you enough for joining us today. Bing, real quickly, closing remarks for Jordan, and then we're just about out of time.
Oh, I would like to just say thank you, Jordan and Carl and Virginia, everybody here. I would like to say Merry Christmas to all of you. Have a safe one, please. I don't want to come back here and hear about any kind of accidents. I have enough problems with that on my own. Jordan, if you'd like to, go over to traditionalamericanmovement.com and check us out. And it might be something that you might be interested in joining and participating in. And I want to say, Michael, thank you, sir, for, you know, having me on board this year. It's been a cool year, and I'm really enjoying everything that we're doing, man. We're going in the right direction, and we have a lot of things that we're going to be doing next year. So stay with us, and don't forget about our show tomorrow, our Christmas show.
All right, cool. Jordan, closing remarks, brother, and then I'll chat with you on Facebook.
Okay, guys, just thanks again for letting me be on here. This last week in our lives has been incredible, to say the least. I will probably never be able to look at myself as an American hero. My wife and I, we look at each other and we're like, what is going on? But it's just about loving people. That's it. That's what my wife and I try to teach our kids. You know, that's what we have to do. We just have to love each other, Democrat, Republican. It doesn't matter. We have to get along, or we're not going to even be a country anymore. So that's all I have to say about that. But I do have some good news, and it's just only going to take a second. I heard on NPR this morning that the NRA has implemented a volunteer program for protecting our schools. I don't know if anybody else has heard that.
No, I've not. Tell us about it.
Well, that's all I know.
All right.
That's it. That's all I know.
Well, you know what? We're going to have to push that, my brother. And I'm going to start pushing. I've got a pretty vast network. I hope you're ready to explode, my brother. We need you to get a Twitter. I want to thank you, Jordan. I want to thank you for accepting my friendship on Facebook. I want to thank you for coming on Soldiers of Patriotism today. You've got a home with us anytime. Anything you've got to say, we look forward to it. Tune into our you and your family. Tune us in tomorrow just for background music while you're enjoying your Christmas Eve. We love you here at Soldiers of Patriotism. You are a true American patriot. I want to thank all of our friends that have supported us throughout 2012. We look forward to a great 2013. Bing and I, we love you all. Thank you very much. I've got a very special gift for you, as special as I can make it. This is from the liberal Dave Matthews, but it's a great song. And we'll see y'all next year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
little people and traveling baby boy. The wise men came, the three made their way to shower him with love while he lay on the day. Shower him with another Mary who for a reasonable fee, less than reputable, was known to be his heart was full of love, 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 love was all around. When Jesus Christ was nailed to his tree,
thank you very much.